Hello, everyone. Welcome to Housewives Tonight. I'm your host, Rit. I come to you through a forest of technical difficulties with my co-host, who is everyone's favorite. So let me just introduce her now, and then she can sit and listen to all of my boring housekeeping. Everyone, please welcome Kristen Morelli.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Happy to be here. Happy to pod. Happy to listen.
Yeah, Kristen and I really suffered to be here right now, but it's okay. We're here. Okay, so before we get into everything, just some boring housekeeping stuff. Well, not so boring. So I do have my holiday giveaway going on right now. So to enter, all you have to do, all you have to do is screenshot on your phone, however you listen to this podcast, if it's using iTunes or Spotify, Stitcher, whatever, just take a screenshot of the of an episode, any episode running on your phone, and post it on Instagram, and just tag me at Wives Tonight and tag at Real House Pins OC. If you guys aren't familiar with Real House Pins, her name is Mallory, and she runs this great Etsy shop, and it's all Bravo swag, and it's like all the magnets, and like she is, I think, like the primary Bravo swag person to go to. So the winner will receive a special little holiday treat from her. And so it finishes next Thursday, which is the 10th, December 10th, and I'll announce the winner December 11th. So yeah, enter. It's easy. It's fine.
It's easy. And I want to say, I know I'm not eligible as an employee of a subcontractor of Wives Tonight, Housewives Tonight podcast, but I already was following Real House Pins before the contest. So that's how good that account slash brand is.
Oh yeah, she's been growing like crazy too. So Mallory does enamel pins, which I have gotten really into lately. I have a bunch of them. I put them on my hats, which I only wear when I'm at home. But enamel pins, she does ornaments for trees, which are great. She does magnets, she does stickers. It's just like, it's like the kind of Housewives merch that you'd be down to buy without making like a giant commitment. You know how like there's only so much money we're willing to put behind our
like ageless by Ramona.
Correct. Which I got for you for your birthday. But that was worth it though.
It was.
I got you ageless by Ramona. I got you Karen's
La Dame.
Yep, La Dame. That's my dog chiming in the background. But anyway, okay, so that's the first thing. Also, don't forget to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Wives Tonight. And of course, please remember to subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And feel free to leave a review, maybe some stars, whatever you're comfortable with. I don't want to tell you how to review me or how to rate me, but 5 stars and positive reviews only. Thank you so much. Okay. And Kristen, where can we find you? Let's just do this at the top instead of the bottom. Where can we find you?
I have a competing, but not a competing podcast, but another podcast.
Yeah.
If anyone listening to this podcast needs more podcasts to listen to, it is a Big Brother centric podcast. However, we dip into a lot of different stuff, including other reality TV shows like MTV's The Challenge or other stuff. And we just wrapped up our last season recording, but we're actually going to be jumping in on some other shows and chatting about them. It's with my co-hosts Nick and Jill, although Rit, you're always welcome to come on if you want to chat about, I know you don't like all the same reality shows that I like, but I'm sure it would be fun to dip in to some other shows with you and Nick and Jill. It's called But First, a Big Brother podcast. But like I said, it's so much more than just a Big Brother podcast. So if there are any Big Brother fans listening or Challenge fans, or like I said, we talk about a lot of different stuff and it's fun. So if you want to listen to that and check us out, But First, a Big Brother podcast. Otherwise, you can find me on Instagram, Beauty Sample Hoarder. That's about all I'm up to these days. So thank you.
That's it, guys. Thanks so much. How is your beauty sample hoarding going? Wait, tell us what you do on that account.
On Beauty Sample Hoarder, it's mostly about how I have a lot of stuff in my stash that for years I would let products like kind of expire or go bad, because I don't know if anyone else is like this, but you either get a full size product or a sample or whatever, and you're just like, oh, I'm so excited to have this, but like I'm gonna use this, but not now, let me wait until it's like a perfect time to use this product. And I think I always was like, I'm not worth using all this stuff that I was sometimes getting for free or spending money on. It's especially bad if you're spending money on it. But like, even with the freebie stuff, it's like, use what you have. So I'm really trying to use up what I have, not acquire a ton of new beauty and skincare stuff while I still have stuff that's good, products that are good and not expired. So I like to document my monthly efforts of not buying a ton of stuff and with using up what I have. So it's a bit of that. It's a lot of random me resharing beauty stuff on my stories from accounts that I like. So it's become fun just to like discover new people and have fun there. And you know,
I love it because I love just seeing the process of like makeup, and I like seeing the swatches and all the different colors. When you swatch on your like forearm, or when you get those all those palettes, like I just love packaging in general. So I love the stuff you post. So it's like, I mean, it's not, I was gonna say it's like porn, but you know what I mean.
It is. It can be like, people love that the panning and all of that. I mean, I don't want to get too into it, but like, it's crazy the people that I've discovered just through being on Instagram, having an account that's just focused on beauty. And I'm like finding all these accounts that I love to follow, and then they're like talking and I'm like, oh, they're so wise, I love them. And then they're like, I'm 24. I'm like, oh, like I'm like super, I mean, not that the age matters, but I'm just like, oh, I always assume everyone's like my age or older than me. And then I'm like, oh wait, I'm way older than a lot of these people. So
I'm working on a show right now, and the leads were born in 2000. So
wow.
Really upsetting. Okay. Anyway, onto less depressing things. Okay. First of all, this is very depressing too. So I have a story to tell you. This like really horrible thing happened to me before. So I was walking Phoebe, my dog, and I had my AirPods in. Are they called AirPods? I have them. I don't know what they're called.
Yeah, AirPods.
Earbuds. Okay, AirPods. So I had my AirPods in and I put my mask on like a good citizen. And when I put the strap around my ear, I guess one of the AirPods popped out.
No, that happened to me.
Mm-hmm. So Phoebe and I walked down the street and I realized it was missing. And I was like, fuck. So we turned around and we backtracked. And I saw it and it had fallen like off the curb onto the street. And I was like, there it is. And then a garbage truck ran the corner and ran it over.
Are you kidding me?
No.
You watched it happen?
In slow fucking motion.
Are they broken? Is it broken?
Oh, yeah.
It's broken. Okay.
Yeah. It's like a pancake. I was like, maybe it'll still work, because I washed them once and they like, they went in the washing machine and they worked fine. So I was like, maybe they're really durable.
Does it still work with a single pod? Like, can you just...
Yes, it does. But I mean, it's like maddening to have only half the audio here. Yeah. So I thought you were gonna ask me about warranty, which I can't even get into right now. So anyway, that was the depressing thing that happened to me before. And
that is sad. I don't know if I would ever live that down.
But it's, yeah, thank you. But it's also not even like an SUV or like a sedan. It was a fucking garbage truck, like the grossest truck had to
run. Couldn't
you
be like, no? Like, I would have been like, no. Oh, run. Like, I would have
ended in my death.
Thrown my body. Oh, that's like how ridiculous I am. I would have probably thrown myself. Well, no, because you had the dog with you.
Yeah.
You gotta look out for me.
Oh, yeah. If I wasn't with her, I would have thrown myself in front of the truck for sure.
Just save like $100 single blood.
Yeah, the world's tiniest thing. They only make one pair.
I wonder if there's a market for buying a single pod.
Well, so I think the complication is because you have to pair it
with
Bluetooth, and so I imagine that it's like very unique.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so that's my life in a nutshell. Okay. Well, guys, today we're going to be discussing The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, a show that just gets weirder and weirder the more I watch it. Do you feel that way, Kristen?
Yeah, because I think it was a really strong, I mean, I'm not saying it isn't still strong, but I remember I watched the first episode and I was like, oh yeah, I'm in. And then I think you were like a week behind and I was texting you. So what have they aired four so far?
We're on episode four, yep.
Yeah, so I think when I was watching episode three, you hadn't watched it yet. And I was just like, wow, these women are wild. And then I realized you hadn't watched it. And then this last week, it's like a roller coaster a little bit, because it's like, it started out, I think, great. And I just feel like their drama is so weird. And I know we'll get into it, but like their drama is so weird. It feels like accelerated, like really quickly. Like, how right. are we only on episode 4? Because there's been some.
It feels accelerated, yet someone walks into a room and they're like, oh, she said this to me. And then it's like, and it rewinds. Yeah. And it's like, oh God, this is, yeah. I mean, in a way, I am grateful that they're coming up with a new way to present these stories. Like, it's not just like a flashback with a filter on it. It's like mm-hmm. the rewinding, and like, it kind of adds like an interesting layer to it. But I mean, I don't know if they're going to keep doing this. But you said before that the drama was so strange. I would like to add to that and say that the aesthetics are strange, the outfits, the hair, some of the accent work, like everything is just a little bit off. It's almost like what you imagine happens, like I've been to Canada before and I actually like love it up there, but it's like a version. I mean, it's so egotistical, like it's a version of America, but you know,
it's bizarro,
like
America.
It's bizarro America. It feels like America, but it's not America. Yeah. And this is America, Utah, but something,
what
first of all,
it?
Yeah, right. Visually, I really want to visit. Like, it's beautiful. And mm-hmm. I love that it's always snowing and they're just still, because they're so used to it, they're just walking around in heels and like, they're just like not bothered by the heavy snow. Like I feel like on Jersey, they're always like, like squealing and they're in like giant like fur coats and like freezing cold. But these women are just like, whatever, which is cool. I do like that.
Yeah. I agree. Like all of their homes, I think I love that like ski chalet look. And like, mm-hmm. I'm just like, ooh, I want to go there. And I would love to drink a hot cocoa or like a mulled wine with them out in the like snowy ski slope. Yep. I love that. I love yep. the, yeah, you're right. But something's off about it.
Okay. So what I wanted to do with you first was I wanted to just go through each lady. By the way, I told you, I texted you about this before because I was like, I don't know what to make of this. There is somebody who I am friendly with on Twitter who is a Housewives fan, and they're very nice. So I don't, this isn't like really, this is more speaking to a larger point and less about them specifically because they're perfectly nice people. But there is such an odd obsession with Salt Lake. And to be honest, maybe not this party in particular, but there are some people where I'm like, are you guys being paid by these women? Like, you know, something feels a little heavy-handed with people are like, this one is the queen, we are not worthy, these women are a gift. It's like, all right guys, I mean, it's like yeah. perfectly fun or whatever, but it feels like it's and those housewives, those specific ones we're talking about, are always liking that stuff, so it feels a little like partnership-y. But so someone had posted something about Whitney, who was first on my list for you, so I just want to introduce her into the conversation by saying mm-hmm. I had commented like, oh, it sounds like she's always reading from a teleprompter, and they were like, well, I think she's a really good person and I like her. And I noticed that they had tagged her, and so that's why they were doing all that. And I was like, right, don't think that she's a bad person. It just sounds like she's reading from a script all the time. Like, she talks right. like this. And they were like, well, you know, I get comments on my voice all the time and I can't control my voice. And I was like, right, I get comments on my voice too. But again, I'm not like dragging her. I'm just like, oh, her voice is weird. Like, it was yeah. so like defensive and weird. I was like, guys, we're just like, this is what we do. Like, we just shoot the shit. Like, I don't know. So anyway, that's my thing about that. But Whitney, how do you feel about Whitney? And you remember which one Whitney is?
Yes, I do. I do. She's the young one. And I do think after the first episode, I was like, she is so beautiful. Like, I felt like I was this person. Like, she's so beautiful. I thought her voice, now I'm not talking about like her speech patterns or anything like that, but I thought her voice was really pleasant, at least in the first episode. And I was just like, oh, she's interesting because she's got that Mormon side, but then she left the church. So
right.
she's got this kind of like, you know, bad girl thing where, but then it's like not bad girl because she's been with the guy for 10 years, but like they had an affair, and like, that was all really interesting. I thought, I don't know why, but like her boss didn't look like her. Sorry, her boss. Well, he was her boss. Her husband doesn't look like a Justin to me, or I don't know if it's just.
Oh, and she is not a Whitney. She's a Heather. I said this before.
Yeah, and Her dad is wild.
I mean, look, listen, it's got to be like, I mean, to bring your story of addiction on television is that's like a big deal.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, aesthetically, I was very alarmed that that was her dad, but also like, someone had said in the first episode about her husband, they were like, I think it was Heather. No, because they're related. Someone was like, everyone thinks he's the hottest. Oh, everyone knows him. I'm like, that guy? He's so vanilla.
Yeah. Yeah. And she seems sweet. She seemed a little bit like not fully in the group from the first couple. Like, I was like, oh, is she the one that they don't? But then I wasn't sure. I was like, is that Mary? I don't know.
Let's roll back on my list to Meredith.
Okay.
Go on.
You're like, get a major like Wisteria Lane vibes from her.
Ooh, good reference.
Yeah. Like, in fact, I almost feel like she looks like, what's her face?
Sue Ellen Mishki.
No, Sue Ellen Mishki from Seinfeld, the lady who kills herself. On Desperate Housewives, that like,
oh, no, yeah,
doesn't she kind of look like her?
I mean,
with longer hair.
And she first of all, she was,
that's her name. Look her up. I don't know. I get vibes, Meredith Marks, Brenda Strong vibes.
Brenda Strong.
Look, maybe we could find her with long hair.
Oh, interesting. I did not remember her looking like this.
It's the vibes.
It's that sort of like monotone. Like,
and they're like holding it all in and very reserved. And
yeah. Meredith has an interesting like whistle when she speaks.
Hmm.
Yeah, just listen for, I think it's because of her lip, like her top lip, you can tell she's got some stuff done. So it's like, it's covering a lot of surface area. And so she'll be like, I don't understand what this drama is. It's like, I can't put my finger on it, but we need to talk about her son, Brooks.
Oh.
Who is such a little bitch, that kid. I was actually on board for the first episode. I was like, yeah, okay. He's got his own vibe. And then he was like, I saw parts of that woman I never wanted. It's like, shut up.
So like nasty about Jen. Like,
yeah, that woman. It's like so gross.
And it's just like, are you trying to get a, what do they hold in Salt Lake City? What do they hold, a ski pole? What's the opening? You know how we always say like, oh, they're trying to get a peach or they're trying to get an apple?
A ski pole?
Snowflake. I think you're right.
Can you imagine if they all spun around holding ski poles and knock each other over?
I don't know what they're holding. I think it might be like a snowflake or something silly like that.
Yeah, he's just a little nasty. And I think it's weird, not to skip ahead to the episode, but when she was recapping Jen's behavior at that party, that he didn't have any commentary. And I was like, don't tell him the stuff Jen did, because he's already so bitchy about her as it is.
Yeah.
He'd be like, I told you, we don't need to. Wait, can we talk about he and his like little sister, the two of them? They're like, we have to go to Best Buy. I thought that was so weird. And I can just imagine them walking up and down like, ew. This computer's disgusting. Ew. Like, what the fuck are those two doing at Best Buy?
I don't know. Remember when we used to be able to like go places though?
I mean, I went to Best Buy kind of recently, but I was like in and out.
Yeah. And you were like, ew.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm not there to like peruse. I'm there to get something and leave. I fucking hate Best Buy also. It's so large and the ceiling is so high. It's like, it just takes forever to get anywhere.
A relic of a forgotten era.
The real relic. And I told John this, your husband. I was like, John, you have to go to the Fry's. There's a Fry's electronics. I don't know if you guys have
like in its own world.
Have Fry's electronics where you guys live, but it's like an old, it's like CompUSA. It's one of those like really, really old. Did you guys have CompUSA where you grew up, Kristen?
Yeah, but that's gone. And then there was like Circuit City.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
That's gone too.
But
Radio Shack.
Why'd you say it like that? Circuit City. So
I don't know.
So this Fry's, all Fry's electronics are themed, like they're based on movies. And the one that's near me in Burbank is based on Alien. I think Close Encounters of the Third Kind. It's alien themed, but because the business isn't doing well, it's this massive store that is largely empty. And so imagine an empty electronic store with just like a hodgepodge of wires, but also alien decor everywhere. And there's a section of the store that's a cafe, but the cafe is shut down. But the cafe has like fake Corvettes that you can sit and eat your like food in. So it's like a 1950s diner. So imagine inside a basically abandoned electronics store is a 1950s cafe that's completely empty with fake empty cars with like tables in them. It's actually kind of cool. But that is like,
I haven't been in there in like 10 years, probably.
That is the land that time forgot.
Yeah.
Anyway, so moral of the story, I don't know what the fuck those two were doing at Best Buy. Okay, yeah. So that's Meredith. We also have, now let's get to the power players, the final two.
Yeah.
Jen. How do you feel about Jen?
I really liked her in the first one until, okay, I just think she is, needs to let the hospital smell comment go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really needs to let it go. I cannot believe we're going on like a fourth episode of this being a thing.
Oh yeah. Into five.
Yeah. And like she, so I would say like, I loved her like intro package and I was like, ooh, fun. I love it. And then basically by the end of that episode, right? Because that's when she was just like, Mary, you can't. And it's like, she forgives her. Then she's like, no, I'm not. I don't forgive you. It's still really effed up what you said. Like, what?
Yeah, I think she's just read like the Housewives Handbook from cover to cover and is like, this, you know, we did get some more depth from her this time about her father passing away, which was interesting. And the insight about her growing up and like being stood up at homecoming, like, oh yeah, those are things that'll really fuck you up like well into your adulthood. Yes. So,
but when she flipped out in episode 3, like on, was it on Meredith? Again, I'm confused if it was Lisa or Meredith.
Flipped out about which, about what?
When she freaked out. Well, she was like, first she freaked out at Whitney for going to Mary's church. She's like, how dare you do that? That was like an insult to me. Do you not remember this?
Flipping on a Whitney? I remember this episode, she gets mad at Meredith for going.
And then she gets, I thought it was in episode 3. And see, again, now I'm confused. Maybe.
Because I think she was fine
like
with.
The 20s party carried over, right? Okay.
Yeah. The 20s party carried over.
Okay,
at the top of this episode.
Confused, I think.
Yeah, at the top of this episode is when she sits her down and she's like, you canceled the sleepover. I thought it was because you went to her church. We'll just get there. Let's just get into it and we'll hit Mary. So, okay. So, yeah. So at the top of the episode, we're still at this party in a strip mall where, like, I mean, I'm all for Housewives getting decked out, but like this dress that Jen came in and like literally like this is, so I was like, is this party exclusively for them or are they amongst like regular bar patrons? This is what I could not figure out.
Also, when they showed the clip of her like planning the party, like how many guests do you expect? She said 30. And I'm sorry, but weren't there like 100, well over 100 people there? It just felt like there were way more people there.
Totally. And there were people like when Heather sends her off in a car and goes back inside, there were these girls like hanging outside by the door and they were in like sweaters and jeans. So I really think they had like a section in this strip mall bar for a 1920s party where there was a stripper. Like it was so strange.
It was so weird.
So she sits Mary down or not. She sits not Mary. Okay. Oh my God. These names are so confusing. So Jen sits Meredith down and she's like, oh, so you canceled the sleepover. And she's like, well, my daughter's going back to school. So, you know, I need to spend time with her. And she's like, so after the party, which ends at midnight, you're going to go spend time with her. And she's like, well, yeah, it reminded me of that argument. When Luann was like to Bethany.
Was Bethany like, oh, you're going to tuck her in?
Tuck her in. But it's true.
The Halloween
like,
party, yeah.
Yeah, oh, right. But it's like, obviously, where Luann didn't come out for like 5 hours. But she's like, obviously you're lying because you got to go hang out with your kid at midnight. And she's like, well, yeah, my kid. And so then she was like, well, I thought it's because you went to Mary's church and now you're close to her. And that's why you're not... you don't want to have a sleepover with me. It's like, all right, Jen, you're really, and yet I kind of believe that Jen believes all of this. Like part of me thinks she's acting, but part of me is like, or is this really how her mind works?
Right.
What do you think?
I don't know, because I thought the whole concept of the sleepover was weird anyway. I was like, really? You're gonna do this? Okay. I have a friend who we already have talked about in this pod, Nick, who was like, I'm having a summer movie sleepover with, this was like not this last summer, it was probably not even the summer before, I think it was like two or three summers ago, and like, oh, come over and watch these movies, and then we're gonna do a sleepover. So I came in pajamas, brought a huge body pillow, like I was fully ready to sleep over. And then everyone starts leaving around like midnight, and they're like, bye bye, and I was like, wait. And then Nick's like, well, you can still sleep over if you want. And I was like, wait, it's just going to be me and like you're in your bedroom and I'm out on the couch. I was like, no, I'll go home. Yeah. So I just was like, I'll go home too. So weird though, because then I go, John, I'm coming home. And he's like, what happened? And it's not a sleepover. It's like when you're in fifth grade and you get mad at your friend and you call your parents.
Oh my God. I was 100% like, did that too.
So it's like, when they were doing the sleepover, I was just like, this is weird. Like, I don't know. I know they go on, I think if you're going on a trip with someone, it makes sense. Or like, if they get too drunk that they have to sleep over, that makes sense. But like, to plan a like sleepover in your town, I don't know. It just seems weird to me.
There's an episode of Mad Men where Sally, this is so weird, Sally goes to sleep over at her friend's place and the other girl passes out on the couch and they're watching some like 1960s TV show. And so Sally starts to masturbate. And the mom walks in and brings Sally home. And like, she's like, your daughter was, it's like, imagine? Yeah. Like, oh God.
Oh my gosh. I forgot. But yes.
Yeah. Same thing. Anyway. So, okay. So she confronts her about that. And Meredith was like, okay, so they're going back and forth. This was amazing. So then at the other table, Heather and Whitney are watching. Okay. And Whitney's like, Whitney goes, Jen might need us. And Heather goes, oh, I'm not messing with that. Fuck that. She's like, I'm not bothering with that argument. So, okay. So then Jen starts crying and she's drinking tequila, by the way, from glasses that I have, which I was like, oh, I have housewife taste. Although it's like Salt Lake City strip mall bar taste. Anyway. So she starts crying and then Jen comes over, not Jen. Lisa comes over. And then when Jen starts bringing up, so this is great. Every time, so they cut to Mary watching this conversation, right? Every time they cut to Mary, I swear she has a new accessory on. Like first it was like a glove. I mean, not really, but I'm not saying really, like she was wearing much shit. Yeah, it was like a hat, a glove, a like choker, and then like beads on top of it.
Her
it's like
fashion is just wild.
It's wild. Mind you, later Jen is like, I think Mary is so put together and she's always so chic. I'm like, are you blind? Like, what are you saying?
I mean,
Lisa,
I would say she is put together. Like, it is very deliberate, everything that she does, but I don't think it's working for
me. It's not put together well. I mean, you can like you can put together like a basket of laundry to wash, like it doesn't mean it's like pretty and should be worn. Anyway, we'll get to all that. So then basically the Meredith's like, I'm disengaging from this conversation, I'm disengaging, and she gets up and leaves. And at this point I was like, is Meredith boring? Should she have like stuck out that argument and like defended herself, or was
she Wisteria Lane? She's very like reserved. Mm-hmm. Like, think about what we learned in this last episode about her, like that she hasn't been telling people. Like, she's just someone who's like, you know, there are different types of people there, but like, we know someone like this. Like, if someone were to confront them, right, they would just be like, I am going to exit the situation and I will not be talked to that way. Whereas like, if it's me, I'm going to be like, hello. Like, I'm going to go full like Jersey Shore on them. And I don't think the other people are necessarily what we want on reality TV.
Yeah. So, you know, on one hand, like obviously Jen was acting crazy and she didn't want any part of it. But on the other hand, it's like, call her out, like put her in her place for acting absurd. But you know, I mean, Jen was obviously, it was about something else and maybe Meredith sensed that. And so that's why she did. Maybe I was just bored by her being like, I'm disengaging.
Yeah. It's boring. It's weird. Safe. It comes across cold. It's again, I really think,
do you think they're all weird because it's so cold there that they're all just like frozen and like disengaging?
But like Whitney's not, Heather's not, you know, like they're not frigid. I think
Whitney's, hold on, Whitney is definitely unfrozen beauty queen a little bit.
I mean,
Heather's not here.
Not in the way that I'm thinking, where I think there's like, you can be cold or frigid and that's unfriendly.
Right.
And I don't think Whitney is unfriendly.
No, of course. You're right. Yeah, that's true. I do think she's just, yeah, her face is just like, I'm cold, but it's fine. Anyway, so, okay. So then Lisa, okay, so then when Meredith disengages, Jen yells, so you're going to go with Mary who fucks her grandfather? And then there's this bite from Heather that I have to rewind. She's like, I fucked a grandpa, big deal. But if it was my grandpa I was married to, I would not want my friend to yell that at me at a party. It's like, okay, so much information. I don't know if it's ever going to get old that she's married to her grandfather or stepfather.
It will never. Found myself like trying to explain it to John, but like in a non-judgmental way, where I was like, yeah, the grandma wanted them to. And he's like, that's still weird. And I was like, well, I think he's a lot younger than the grandma was. And he's just like, it's still weird. And I was like, when it comes down to it, it's very weird to think that, and I don't want to get too graphic. Is it okay? I get a little graphic.
I mean, like, I always check the adult content box when I post this.
His peen was probably in her grandma.
Right. Well, but you know, he's washed since.
I know that, but that's a very intimate, like almost if I had known that they were like, oh no, this is just a marriage on paper or something, like the first marriage or something, or if it was just, but like if you have to imagine that they maybe had sexual intercourse. I'm like whispering.
You can say it. Okay, so then, okay, Whitney actually made me laugh here. So Whitney comes over as Jen's freaking out. And she's like, Jen has a history of freaking out. That's why I'm checking on her out of pure fear.
Is this when she's like, watch the burgers?
No, that's when Heather was like, I'm not going over my lollipop, my chicken lollipop or whatever.
She's like, I very much related to that moment. I was like,
yeah.
You know, someone clears food that you're like, I was eating that.
Oh my God. It makes me so mad. It's like, did you even ask? Like, how dare you assume that I'm done with that? There are crumbs that I need to tend to at some point. Then Jen calls.
Jump ahead, but.
No, yeah. Then Jen calls. Well, that's it. Then Jen calls her husband and screams at him to come pick her up. And she goes, where are you? And hangs up. Okay. So
And then when do we get to Heather talking about her cankles? Because that's
at the top of the next act. So now we're in act two. No, it's fine. There's like crazy screaming. I mean, Jen is like screaming. Yeah. Like this is like a mid-season scream. This is not like an episode 4 scream or 3 or wherever we are. And so then Heather goes after her. And I guess Heather knows how to disarm her, which is just like kind of like calm her down and send her away. And
like, she's being mean to Heather. Like she was being rough.
She's like, don't touch me, get away from me or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so weird. I just, whenever these like friends hang out in duos, I'm like, are you guys friends? Like, I don't feel the chemistry, but anyway, whatever. So yeah. So then Jen calls the guy, Heather calls the guy who's picking up Jen. Is it her husband she's talking to or a driver?
I mean, that's who she wanted to come, but I don't know if the husband was like even in town.
Yeah, I think it was a driver because the guy was like smiling as he drove away and he was like, what the fuck is this? But then as she's like running out to flag the van down, she says...
What is she like? I'm like a flapper with cankles or something. What is she
saying? Yeah, she's like, look for the flapper with cankles. Yeah.
I appreciate her sense of humor and self-awareness, I guess, but
you know, the hallmark of a good housewife is when they're able to make fun of themselves, which like the worst ones are the humorless ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is why like Potomac is so great, because most of them can really laugh at themselves.
I think this is where I keep getting thrown off, and because I don't take the good notes that you do always, but like that was so much to happen at the top of the episode that I think I just mentally put that as part of episode 3. And then I started the episode at that party that they have.
No, but you're right though. There is something about this show where I can't keep track of what happened when. And because a lot of it feels like one giant scene. And then the scenes in between aren't super memorable because they're all like at home, like chatting. So it just becomes about like the bigger parties. And then like, all the rewinding that they do, it's like, it's hard to keep track of the timeline and when we're moving forward in time versus like when we're like stalled at a party, or when we're like flashing back, and then like, was that flashback part of us moving forward in time? I don't know. So it's, I appreciate that they're trying to tell these stories differently, because I mean, this is like franchise number 8, I guess, or 9, if you include Miami, or maybe not. Someone's going to call me out on that, I'm sure. But anyway, okay. So now we're in act 2, and it's the morning recaps. And these are all cut together really quickly, thank God, because there's nothing more boring than having to hear people recap what we just saw. Okay. So Mary starts talking about how Jen has a problem with her because she wants to be the big dog, which I thought was actually code for she wants to be the lead of the show. And I think that's actually very insightful. And I do think that's kind of what's happening here.
Yeah. I don't know if I caught that, but that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah. She was talking to, I think this is when Lisa comes over. Maybe she was talking to her, her husband or something, but yeah, she was like, she wants to be the big dog. This comes up again later about how she wants, I think it was in the preview for the next episode. And what, I mean, yeah, it's code for like, she wants to be the alpha, you know, because every
center
show
snowflake.
Center snowflake, center ski pole, because you know, there's every show has like Bethany is New York, Teresa's Jersey. And I think Jen knows that the louder you are and the more dramatic you are, the more attention you get, but it's sort of like within reason. Like you can't just do whatever. And like, it has to, like Teresa's flip out, it was a build all season, right? Yeah. And Bethany being the center was based on her bites and her, and how witty and sharp she was. And just like making a mountain out of a hole mill is not, and I said that on purpose, is oh, not, yeah. Yeah, you didn't say anything. And I was like, well, you have to laugh so people know. I don't think it's hole
I'm
mill.
Sorry, I heard it, but like, I, all that stuff now, I just take it at like, yep, that's, I know exactly what the person. Yeah. I have heard so many, but yeah, I loved all the Ramona-isms and all the Kelly, well, all the housewife fuck-ups I have now heard on so many like work Zooms that I'm just like, this is just how people in the real world talk. Like,
it's true. It's totally true. Okay. So then we go to this gallery with Meredith and Lisa, and Lisa keeps being like, can I touch?
Oh, that's so weird. I hated that. And I was like, is she punking the like person? Like, it was so weird. It felt like a hidden camera sketch thing. Like,
but see,
ask this lady if you can keep touching stuff.
But I think that's the thing with Lisa. It's like she wants us to know how like Sundancy she is and this tequila brand, but like she goes to like a gallery or whatever and she doesn't know how to like behave. You know, so yeah. I don't know that she really knows her way around that world. Yeah. I mean, I don't go to galleries. I'm not a gallery person, but presumably if you're like so well to do and you're, you know,
I was taught never touch anything. And like when you walk into a store, you keep your hands behind your back or like at your side, because like my parents are like, if you break it, you buy it. Like, you know, it was like a don't, and never, like I would never be allowed to pick up anything. So I just think like her being like, can I touch this art, expensive artwork, was so weird.
Yeah.
Especially after the first time that she was like, no, thanks. Like, please don't.
Yeah, she's, and the third time she was like, you're going to be one that likes to touch things or something like that. Yeah. She's like, you're a toucher. Okay, so this was so funny. So obviously this was shot either way after the flapper party or way before, because they did this ADR job that was so bad where the camera wasn't on either of them, but Lisa goes in ADR, oh my God, that party was crazy. And Meredith goes, I don't want to get into that right now, but like, but they're not on camera when they say it. And then Meredith's like, I have to tell you something. And then it's that she's separated from her husband. Now we have only seen Meredith and her husband at the world's weirdest dinner where he's like, look at my phone. And she's like, I don't want to. So it's hard for me to like emotionally invest in the like disillusion of their marriage, and Lisa's like crying about it, and I was like, okay.
And then they're like, but we're dating each other, like that's weird. I was but like then, why even tell people then?
Well, that's the thing. And then Lisa's like, and they also ADR'd her being like, Jen knows, but she's the only one. but then she was like, but it's not a secret. So I don't know why then it's a thing later, and I think it is going to be a thing that it gets around that she's splitting from
Heather him. Finds out, then Heather tells Whitney, then probably Whitney's gonna tell Mary, and then it's like, you didn't tell us, you didn't write it down in your, oh no, oh we haven't God. Even gotten to the
no I know, but those fucking journals that said like boss lady. at the Met Gala. Oh, I'm so excited to get there. Okay. So anyway, that's act two. Okay, so now we're in act three. So Lisa goes over to Mary's house. And okay, this is where Lisa is like, Mary is so put together and so chic, but her house is a little or whatever, which I did notice that Mary had a red microwave, which was weird. Oh. I've never seen anything like that before.
I had a friend who loves red. And like when he moved into an apartment, I don't know, when we thought we were like cool enough to buy people like housewarming gifts for apartments, like, his girlfriend at the time was like, oh, he loves red. Buy him like this red blender and this red toaster and then this other red. It was like all these red things. And then I'm pretty sure they're not together anymore. And I'm pretty sure I saw the red blender on her social.
Oh, I know.
That red blender that we gifted our friend is now, it was... Anyway, red appliances, I am triggered by them. But I didn't notice it.
Well, again, so then you should never go to Bethany anything, like Bethany's place.
I don't, well, okay, I like Skinny Girl red. And if I was given a free, like, Skinny Girl product, I would gladly take it.
Yeah, she has blenders, you know.
I know. I want it all free, though. I want to become her friend so I can get free Skinny Girl things. Oh, speaking of her, and I don't want to digress too much, but, like, she was not on, but John and I are watching Flipping Out now for our Bravo binge. And so now YouTube is recommending us like a lot of Jeff Lewis videos. And he was on with Bethany on like that Watch What Happens Live after show. You have to watch it, Rip, because, and everyone listening, it's like 8 minutes, but someone asks Bethany about like, do you think you talk about Skinny Girl too much? And then Jeff just goes off. He's like, none of us are allowed to plug our products except Bethany. It's bullshit. Why is it Skinny Girl, Skinny Girl, Skinny Girl? I can't plug my products. Well, and it's just so funny. And then they like, a caller asks Jeff, like, how's parenting going? And he basically just keeps going off about Bethany and Skinny Girl.
In front of her?
Yes.
What does she say?
She's just laughing at all. Like, he's doing it in a funny Jeff Lewis way, but, like, you could tell he's kind of pissed because he keeps going back to it.
Because she figured it out. Because normally if you plug your brands, then you owe Bravo a percentage. And she fought that and got it in her contract that she doesn't owe Bravo anything. So she just has, like, free reign, I think, to, like, plug her shit. Jeff. I have a lovely relationship with him.
Oh, okay. I love him.
So then, okay, Mary's son got his girlfriend a Prada purse and like had also gotten her a dog. I hope we have a scene where Mary meets this girlfriend.
Oh yeah. She hasn't met her yet, or we just haven't seen it.
Well, we haven't, it doesn't count.
I thought you meant, yeah. Okay.
Cause Mary is so unhinged. Mary is like the Ramona, right? I think I said that before. Like, she's just like super delusional and thinks she's like really put together and polished and like, but like her sentences, there's a sentence that she says later that I was like, what is happening? Okay, anyway. So then they start talking about this fucking Met Gala. So Mary tells Lisa she's going to do a lunch where everyone dresses up formal, but they can also be real. So this is the bite that Mary has. And this isn't even the weird bite that she has later that I was going to bring up. She says, I want to do this luncheon for us to like hear each other. These women don't listen. So I'm breaking... Okay, yeah, I didn't know what word she said here. She's like, so I'm breaking that on this luncheon in a formal, fun, my style way. I don't know what girl wouldn't want to dress up and look pretty. And so why not do a Met Gala? It was like crawling through like a mud tunnel of like, and just like grabbing on like this, the Met Gala. Like, it was so weird.
Very weird. I was like, what? The Met Gala thing. Obviously, I know what the Met Gala is, but I was just like, wait, do they even eat at the Met Gala? Do they even sit down? I always just imagine it as like rich, you know, the crazy dresses.
I think it's a dinner.
There is a dinner? Okay. Yeah. I see. I'm not aware. I always just see them like on the steps or in the, is it even a carpet? I don't know. It's always like just like, what did Beyonce wear? What did Lady Gaga wear? And that's all I see of it.
And look, I enjoy P.F. Chang's, but there was one across the street from it.
Amazing. I mean, they're in Utah.
Yeah.
I don't know. True.
Okay, so this is where Mary reiterates that she thinks that Jen is in competition with her, which I agree with. Okay, but Jen did something very masterful next, which I actually like, she got points. She goes over to Heather's place and Heather lets her in, and they're walking in and the doorbell rings and they both freeze. And then Jen's like, oh, I ordered sushi. Like, to go to someone's house and pre-order food and then like you don't tell them and it arrives, like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Why don't you do that for me?
Me?
Yeah, you. I'm calling you.
I'm not a housewife.
Take notes.
I'm not a housewife.
Kristen, we're all housewives. This year we were all housewives.
And I do live in a house, yes. Yeah. But okay, I'll take note of it. I do think it's like a cool move.
Yeah, and it's like very smooth. It's not like I pre-ordered, it's coming. It's like, oh, food's here.
Yeah, but that can be risky because like if you have friends who are always late, like a Robin Dixon or something,
right?
And then you're like, everything's cold.
That's true too. Yeah, you do have to time it properly. Okay, so now we're in Act Four, and Jen explains that her husband is never around. Her dad passed away almost a year ago, which was very sad. Her husband couldn't come to the funeral because of a fucking football game. Are you kidding? I thought that was crazy.
Well, it was crazy because don't they have like assistant coaches and other, like, come on.
Yeah, and it's a fucking sport. I don't understand. Like, oh, it's the big game. Every game is the big game, please. Okay, so then Jen goes on a tear against Meredith and that she threw her an $85,000 birthday party.
When she said that, I was like, no, I hope not. But also, why? And we all know that wasn't her birthday party. Like,
yeah,
it wasn't her birthday
party. It was like incidentally her birthday. It was like a postscript.
And now these traditional Tongan dancers,
yeah,
celebrate Meredith,
the whitest woman ever. Yeah. But also, I think what she did was, I'm sure she got a lot of that shit for free from Bravo, and she was like, well, the retail value is this, so technically it was $85,000.
Right. That's a good point. And that's so like when I add up my beauty samples at the end of the month.
Yeah, except that's like, but that's legit. Okay, so then Jen says, this is so stupid. So then Jen spills that Meredith has split from Seth, but they're dating now. And then Jen says in Bite, she's like, well, she betrayed me, so now I'm going to talk to my friends about her stuff. I was like, what?
Yeah.
That was like really shitty logic. And if it was, you know, I guess it's not that big of a deal because it's like, it's obviously like Meredith doesn't seem like it's that secretive. The way she's like, people know. And then Seth was like, who have you told? And she's like, well, you know, it's not clear how private this is. Like that hasn't been established. Fucking Brooks. You remember last episode, Brooks was like, I came home to be with my mom during the divorce.
I am triggered by the name Brooks.
Oh, because of the other Brooks.
Because of OC, yeah. I'm like, we can't have another Brooks. Like, well,
they're both assholes, so it works.
Yeah. No, I don't know how secretive the thing is, because, like, yeah, like, we saw her say, like, it's not a secret, and she started to tell people, but I wondered, like, the timeline of things. Like, had Jen already started? I don't know. Like, maybe was Meredith trying to get out ahead of it? Like, oh, I know that Jen's mad, so now let me start telling people. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think that's why it's fucked up that, like, if a friend, if you feel betrayed by a friend, I think to then go to your other friends and be like, well, guess what she told me that was super private? Well, now that we're fighting, it's like just not related. You're just doing it to like stick it to her, which is like really stupid. Okay. Then Mary's setting up her lunch and she's so nasty. She's like, can you read? Because these are upside down. And she's putting these like fish bowls in the middle of the table, which is
the beta fish. I was like, why is this?
It's so gross.
I was so confused.
And I also don't know if she's serving fish, but if she is, that's really disgusting.
Yeah.
But they're like, but the way the tables were arranged, they were like, it wasn't one long table. It was like tables side to side to make like one wide table. And then in the middle were all these shitty bowls of water. And then when Mary insults the people who are setting up, she's like, people try to show me their expertise. Like it's as if it's like French and you can't pronounce the S-E.
The S-E, yeah, expertise.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny. Like, it's like when Ramona says my derriere.
Yeah.
My derriere. What was the thing I sent you yesterday that Ramona said that I was like, I can't believe she said this. I'm looking it up right now.
Wait, it was like, wasn't it a compilation video though?
It was a compilation video of Ramona saying, she sends that saying burying the hatchet. She's like,
Hodget.
Burying that Hodget. Here, I'm going to play it right now for everyone. Hold on.
That you have your audacity. And my daughter, Rigeg, I know, I pronounce it Rugeg. I have to say, kadoos to all of us. Stop burring that hodget.
Burring that hodget.
Hodget.
Kadoos is great because it's not even spelled like that, right?
No. It's like she's like could, like K-U-D, could, like, yeah. And then kadoos. Doos. But like, yeah, I don't know how she came up with that, but it makes so much sense to me now that I just want to say kadoos, but like, no one would get it except you.
Yeah, I know. It's okay. I'm here. Okay, so then Heather and Whitney are driving to the Met Gala luncheon, and Heather says the most genius thing. She's like, we had to nail a lot of themes today. Met Gala, but also a luncheon. Also midday.
probably on like a Tuesday.
Yeah, like the middle of the week. I just love on all of these shows, they're like, I just want to get everyone together so we can do blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you just did that. And I think on Potomac or something, it was like, I just want to bring all the girls together. It's like, you just went to Portugal. Like, you were all, like, find a better reason than, like, I just want us to all get together.
Portland, Portugal.
Oh, Portugal. So Heather tells Whitney that Meredith and Seth are separated but dating. And Whitney says that Meredith always denied it and that there was nothing wrong, which I wonder now. So now I wonder, it's like, does she not want everyone to know, or is she now at the point where she's fine with people knowing? I don't know. But you
because now they're dating, and then like they get to say, well, we're separated, but we're dating each other only or whatever.
And by the way, nothing says date like look at my phone so I can look at what are you hiding? Great date. So, okay, inside. Oh my God, this was so fucking weird. I posted this right before we started talking. Mary and the restaurant owner are inside, and this guy is like some kind of Einstein looking guy. And he like sniffs the champagne and like moans into the glass. It is the weirdest moment ever. Yeah. Wait, now I'm going to play it and hopefully you guys can hear. I'm picking up on people's weird shit. Yeah, that's what I do. Okay. Let's see if this works. It's worth it, guys. I promise. It's so weird. Not this. Okay, here it is. Did you hear that? This wakes you up. Yeah, Mary's like, this wakes you up. And he was like,
So
disgusting. By the way, as I just opened up Instagram, someone posted, what are Joe Biden's plans for the Real Housewives of Orange County? Really funny. Anyway, so, okay. So everyone comes in one by one. There are nutcrackers outside the restaurant. Nutcrackers, betta fish, like hamsters or gerbils, right? Weren't there gerbils?
Gerbils? Wait.
I thought Heather said they were gerbils. Maybe I misunderstood.
Yeah.
Okay. So as they come in, Mary says to, I think Lisa, she says, there's a Versailles pen. I want you to write something on there and we can discuss that we don't know about you that open up to each other. That's verbatim what she said. And they had to like subtitle it. So what is the deal with her and like putting words together? Because there's something like, there's like synapses firing in her brain, but like,
there's an app I've been using to try to like help my brain because I feel like I'm losing words. I'm losing, like things. And there, one of the lessons you can do, it costs money. So I like canceled it, but I still have the free version because it's like, I'm not paying. It was kind of like ridiculously expensive for what it is. It's like a game, but there's one of these activities you can do. And I forget what it's called, but it's like, is it your expression or your, it's basically like, maybe it's the syntax. I don't know. It's like commonly misused or like misput together words. And I scored pretty well in that one, but I think that, I'm just saying like, as I was reading it, I was like, oh, people do screw that up. I have heard people do that, but I don't always make the connection.
I think you're being generous. I think there's just something going on there. Like, it's just like, I was saying this before. I don't understand. Like, even the words that she says, like, it's like she's swallowing her words when she talks. Well,
I feel like, so she's, like, rich. I feel like there's, like, the rich people who are rich and, like, their parents are like, you're going to this school and you're going to do that, you know, and you do, you still have that good. And then I feel like sometimes you can be so rich that you're like, okay, I might go to all those schools, but I'm not going to actually learn or try or do anything. I'm not saying that's Mary because I don't want to.
No, that's very interesting, though.
sometimes when you're really rich or like, yeah, you have this church to inherit as long as you marry your grandfather, you're maybe you're like, yeah, I don't like, this doesn't make any sense, but you know, I have enough. Cause it's, oh no, it's Jen. I was going to say, is it her who has that whole like gang of people? That's what we forgot to touch on with gang was, or with Jen was her whole gang of her, her glam squad or whatever they are that like chant her name before she goes out. So weird. But like, I think when you're that rich, I don't know, just maybe you give up trying to sound like you don't care. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's almost like she's too lazy to like finish the sentence or to like say the words. Well, then they're all standing around sipping Dom and she's like, in 2003, 5,600 people died in a heat wave and the grapes from them were the best of all time. It was such a weird fact to be like, 5,600 people died in a heat wave and the grapes from that year were the best of all time. Like, did those people die on the grapes? Like, what do the
maybe
dead people...
it's like they're dead, their bodies fertilize the soil.
Yeah, it would be great if everyone was like with the champagne in their mouth, like spit it back out. Yeah.
I don't know. That's weird.
Okay, so then Jen arrives and Mary asks her to write something in her book that she wants people to know. And that's when we get a close-up of the book and the books say Boss Lady on them.
Oh, God.
So let's add Boss Lady journals to the list of items at this
Met Gala.
Yeah. Okay, so then Mary says grace and then she just like lists every cast member and starts crying. She's like,
sweet, but
she's like Jen, Lisa, Meredith. Like she's just naming everyone.
Yeah.
There's,
I thought she was going to forget someone. I thought that was going to be like the drama.
Yeah, that would be me too. That's like, you got to be careful thanking people in any, it's best to just
like in your Oscar speech.
Yeah, I've done it in my Oscar speech, in my shower. Okay, so that takes us to Act 6 and they all go around and start talking about secrets. And this is when Jen talks about growing up and being stood up at homecoming and she feels like her loyalty doesn't get reciprocated. Now that is also very interesting. Like, okay, I can understand if you didn't grow up with a lot of friends, the friends that you do have and you give so much to them, this all tracks to me.
Yeah.
Do I still think it, I mean.
I don't think it excuses the behavior.
Okay, right. That's what I'm saying. I don't think it does either, but it is nice to know that she is like self-realized enough to like put that shit together about herself.
But like, I would want to know if I was her friend, like, okay, I'm, yeah. Are you in therapy? Like, what are you doing to not basically allow this trauma, which it is, but like allowing this childhood trauma or whatever it is to still like seep into, like the fact that Heather was like, yeah, Jen just does this. And like, I just have to deal with it. It's like, no, that is not a good friend. Like, I would not take that. Like,
I agree.
You need to be doing something to, I don't know.
Oh, I totally agree.
Yourself so that you're not flipping out at people like that.
Yeah, I don't think that it's, and that's why I find like Kelly Dodd, politics aside, so frustrating because she's just the same petulant child she always was. And that's not fun or interesting to watch.
Yeah.
And Brandy, to an extent, we kind of talked about Brandy, we were texting before. Like Brandy's another one who is pretty much the same she always was. Like her emotions are all over the place. She does stupid shit and she's like, leave me alone. I don't want attention. But then she says dumb shit. But at the same time, it is kind of entertaining. But she's another one. It's like people like that burn out and they don't last long on these shows because I think Bravo, I think they like when there's some kind of growth. Like Tamara used to be like a shit stirrer and I think she like chilled out a little bit. So I don't know. I think I just, for Jen's sake, I think she has a big following and people really like her. So I'm sure she'll stick around for a while, but yeah, it's just not cute, you know?
Yeah, I agree. It's like, it's abusive, borderline, you know, like as a friend of a person.
Oh, totally. Yeah. So then this pretty much brings us to the end. So quickly in Act 6, Mary, so Jen basically apologizes to Meredith for screaming. Like she like screamed at her at that bar. Like she really went after her. And Meredith is like, you know, thank you for apologizing. Like I really appreciate it. And then we hang the episode on Mary being like, where's my apology? But it's in bite. And then it's like continued.
Yeah,
and then in the preview, there's a big screaming match. I'm like, why didn't you just take us to that and then stop the episode and say to be continued? Sometimes this to be continued, it's like, yeah, no duh, the story's going to continue, but like, why do you have to say right. to be continued?
Right. If you're not, I mean, in this case, they will be dropping us into the same scene, but I always think it's weird. And yeah, like, couldn't they have cut 30 seconds from another part of the show or whatever if they had to make time, like, yeah. for that, just yep. to have it in? I don't
Yeah, it was just an odd editorial choice to, like, save the, I don't know, save the tension for next week. And anyway.
Yeah.
All I got from the preview that I found funny was, like, Seth and Meredith are in the car. And Seth is like, so are you going to move to Canton, Ohio? Which, first of all, like, ugh. But
well, second, let me tell you what's in Canton, Ohio, Rit. It's what? The Football Hall of Fame. The National Football Hall of Fame.
I mean, now, double ugh.
I know. But I went there once with my dad because my brother, like, wouldn't go with him. Like, we were driving through and my dad was like, I want to go to Football Hall of Fame. And my brother wouldn't go. And so I was like, I'll go with you, Dad. Yeah, it was kind of fun. I mean, it was like, you know, a museum. But
well, so then she's like, I told you I'm not moving. I've already uprooted my life. And he goes, corporate headquarters is in Canton, Ohio. It was such a
weird. Like, and she's like, my corporate headquarters are here. And then I was trying to remember, wait, what does she do?
She chops onions with jackets draped over her shoulders.
Wait, what? Was,
in the scene from last episode where he was like, she was disgusting, I saw everything. They were in the kitchen and Meredith was chopping like a single onion. There was nothing else on the counter. She's chopping one onion. She had a fucking jacket draped over her shoulders. It was so, that was like some American Psycho behavior.
And not crying. Yeah. She's no, of course definitely not. Wisteria yeah. lame. Like,
yeah.
You can cut an onion and not cry.
Well, so I would say to wrap up, let's give them all awards for how we feel so far. So Whitney for me is like most, it doesn't have to be like most likely, but Whitney for me is like most, I'm going to stick with my original title I gave her. She's like most unfrozen beauty pageant contestant.
Okay. Wow. I would give her most, I don't know. I don't want to get crass.
Oh, just do it.
Most best cleavage because she always shows the cleavage and like even in their like whole cast photo she's like on the ski lift or whatever she's the only one in like a lower cut thing so I'm gonna go just
do you think this is like a podcast sponsored by Disney like you're like I don't want to be crass but her cleavage
well I just like okay I will say on my podcast with Nick and Jill where we talk about Big Brother sometimes I want to get a little catty. And they're like, well, we don't talk about people's appearance. And I'm like, oh. Like,
you're like, well, I don't understand what you just said.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, I guess I think I'm on a Bravo podcast because that's like, we love to talk about.
I mean, because, and look, and well, and Big Brother, I guess, is a little different because they're not there to be glamorous. But,
yeah.
You know, if we're giving you our time on a Bravo show, like, you gotta deliver some looks, you know? So yeah. It's not like we're saying, like, this one's fat and that one.
No, I mean, none of them, like, yeah.
Yeah, and by the way, and once you start altering your face, that's also fair game because that's not like, it's not what you were born with. If it's what you're born with, I'm not going to go after you. But if you like blow your lips up or whatever, and it sounds like you're whistling when you talk, you know, I'm going to say something.
Maybe I'll just say best tits.
Best titties.
For Whitney.
Great. Okay. Heather for me is like most, I would say like most relatable.
Yeah, I would say she's like most likely to be, I'm not going to say Bethany. But she's most likely to be Heather from New York. What's her name? Heather. Oh my God.
Heather Holla Thompson?
Yeah, a little bit. Like a sense of humor, but like you know, I like Heather.
I just can't imagine Heather, this Heather, greeting anyone by calling them mama, which I find so annoying. Hey, mama.
Oh, see, I actually could. I kind of could, but not mama, because I think even Heather Thompson is. Dialed that back but like
is it the name of her what's the name of her podcast isn't it like Hey Mama or something
oh maybe it is she dropped Holla I know that she's like she had to issue a public apology no I'm joking she's just oh Heather but anyway I would say, okay I would just say yeah definitely most relatable
okay most I think Meredith is like most I'll stick with most American Psycho-ish because as the more we get to know her at first I was like I am enchanted by her appearance and her energy and now I'm like there's something unsettling.
I would say Meredith is most Mary Alice for me, which is again my Desperate Housewives reference.
Yeah,
great. I think she's Mary Alice from Desperate Housewives. And tragic ending, but we'll see.
Yep.
Wait, cut that. No, you don't have to. It's fine. Keep it in. Keep it
we're
in.
We're not implying. Yeah, no, we're not implying. We're not implying anything like that. It was,
It was a fictional show, guys.
Something about Meredith really brings out some odd commentary in us. Okay.
Yeah.
So then Jen, I would say, is probably just like Miss, like, you know, like thirsty for the camera, like most, I would say most thirsty right now.
Yeah. I'm trying to like think of who she reminds me of on Bravo. Okay. Well, not to say that because of her last name, but I feel like she's like a Shaws of Sunset character a little bit with the velocity, like, you know, and with showing off the glam squad or whatever they're called, her Shaw team. What does she call them? I don't remember.
But, well, I think you're right. Actually, she would work in Shaws because they're all like that. It's just out of place here where they're all like weird and robotic.
In Utah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. She's just so like this and that, blah, blah, blah. Like she's got MJ vibes for me, but I love MJ.
She also reminds me of Leanne Locken a little bit because Leanne really towards the end, like really hammed shit up for the camera.
Yeah.
And then we have Lisa, who to me is like,
I would just say biggest bitch.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. I was going to say like biggest mouth, but literally because she opens her mouth so wide to talk.
Listen, it's only been 4 episodes. I can change my opinion. I think
Mary has the best style and she's so chic.
So weird. I just think Lisa's a bitch. I don't know.
Yeah, that's fair. And yeah, it's still early.
That's my opinion. Sorry, I don't mean to go there. I know this is a safe space from that.
Well, again, I'm Tamara's never really been, and maybe she should be. Here's the thing. If you are a like Republican, whatever, totally fine. If you're, you know, whatever you feel about COVID, it's fine. If I know about it and you're like loud and obnoxious about it, that's when I take issue. Mm-hmm. If you privately feel a certain way and like people are assuming you're that way, like I'm not going to like waste my energy being like
fire her. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's
no, like, I get it. Kelly Dodd's an asshole.
Not my business. You know, once you make it my business by, you know, like proclaiming people are sheep and like all that shit, that's when I get pissed. So that's why like Tamara doesn't really inspire the same rage
that
Kelly does. So Tamara's fair game here, but Kelly can suck it. I posted this thing. It was that clip from Watch What Happens Live. Kelly was like on.
Oh, I didn't watch it.
It was really weird. There's just something not right with her. Okay, so that was Lisa. And then finally we have Mary.
I need you to go.
I was gonna say like most Ramona, or most unaware of like herself and everything around her. Just because this party was so like slapped together, and I honestly want to go back and just do like one watch where I observe all the details in the party, and the fact that she fancies herself like a chic person, like this was not by any stretch a chic event. Like if it's the middle of the day, make it like an upscale brunch. Keep it simple. But like Met Gala, if you don't have the location for that, it's just gonna be super tacky. And if it was someone else, like if it was like Heather doing it, it's like Heather never proclaimed to be like fashionista and I know and my style and all that. So I would have more leeway with a Heather. But if Mary is supposed to be this like goddess of fashion, it's like then you better do better.
I have a equal opportunity religion like hater. Like I'm just not, I don't want to say hater. Everyone, I respect everyone's right, but I have a like probably stemming from like Catholic Church ties to that, which again I'm not coming down on, and maybe we'll cut it, but I have an issue with like seeing such a lavish lifestyle then being tied closely to a church.
Oh yeah.
Like, because I'm just like, how many, like you're spending, people tithe, like, especially in a state like Utah, but like anywhere, like where people are very devout religious and they tithe or what, they give a percentage of their paychecks to the church. And then you see that the priest has a Cadillac. You're like, huh? Okay.
Oh,
like,
no. you're
that's
totally
where my money is going.
It's totally unsettling. I remember when they went to her church last episode, she had a giant gold watch, and it's like, these people, I don't want to assume, but I imagine that these are just like working class, like, you know, like people who are just like, how do you sleep at night knowing that you're just siphoning money from these people who probably work super hard? Yeah. And I don't understand. And this is why I don't like Pastor Jamal either. Like, why are there super churches? Like, why do those exist?
Right. I don't know. Have you, this is not reality, but have you watched or anyone watched The Righteous Gemstones on HBO? They've only done one season, but I feel like they're coming back. It's John Goodman's in it with Danny McBride from like Kenny Power. What's that show? Eastbound and Down. You know, Kenny Powers, you know that? Some other people in it. That Adam Devine is in it from like
Pitch Perfect, right?
Yeah, and all that stuff, that workaholic show. Anyway, it's a fictional show, but it's really funny, and season one had like a funny, crazy plot, but it's all about that, like basically these televangelists, mega church pastors, and like how rich they are, and how it's like a business, it's full on a business for them. So anyway, that's just kind of the vibes I get.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, people have like full on come out and said she's a cult leader, and they've described their experiences with her and like the bullying and like, yeah.
Now, so, a cult, I can get behind. No, I'm joking.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this is the thing, is because a cult is like, I mean, I guess they also don't think they're a cult, like cults usually, right? They like, but to hide behind a sect of Christianity, I think is weird.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like I said, I think a lot of the religions become this over time, and that's why some people take issue with organized religion. But
yeah,
you know, hopefully she's not abusing that, but you have to wonder. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that brings us to the end of Salt Lake City. I'm into it. It's weird. It's like fitting for the end of this year where everything has been so weird. It's like, sure. Yeah. At least it's not like really dark and depressing. And we're not like, we are sort of circling around one issue, but there's enough like other weird shit cropping up that I'm feeling like it's not just like a Beverly Hills, which is just about one thing always.
And it's not just focused on like Mormons or like, you know, like what you would expect from a city. Like,
totally. Yeah.
Similar with like season one of, what was it? Was it season one of Potomac where you were like, oh, it was supposed to be like a charity show.
Yeah, Charity Wives. Yeah.
So they were like focused on like this weird, almost political, but charity thing. Like it was like weird because of where they're located in the country. It was like, I just want to see women. Like, I don't want to see, I mean, sure, they throw fundraisers and stuff, but I don't want to show about that, you know? So.
Correct. Yeah. I just want to see them like exist and go to their like lunches. I want to watch them order and like make big deals out of stupid things. Like, I don't need to see them like with goals.
Or it's like, if you want to like a premise thing, like you'll watch Below Deck or something, you know, like that's about people in a certain industry or something, like, you know.
Yeah. Ocudramas, those are called.
Yeah.
Or okay.
Thank you.
That's what Lindsay Lohan's Beach Club was.
Oh.
And like Vanderpump is an docudrama too. Is it docudrama? It's docu something.
Because it's supposed to be like docu, but then it's ocu.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I like it. Never heard it.
Yeah, maybe ocu series, but it's definitely ocu.
Okay.
Ocu mom.
I like it.
Well, Kristen, thanks so much for taking the time out to have this very important discussion.
So important.
So important.
What is more important right now than this?
Nothing.
If not this, what?
I mean, the sun has set during this discussion, and now it's like,
you know,
blackness outside.
My boss even called me during it, and I just rejected it. He won't listen.
You go deal with that. Hopefully, you still have a job. And everyone, don't forget to follow Kristen at Beauty Sample Hoarder, correct?
Yep.
On the Instagram. And don't forget to enter my holiday giveaway with Real Housewives of OC, or sorry, Real House Pins of OC. Tag me, tag her, screenshot yourself listening to this or any episode, and do it before Thursday, December 10th, midnight, Pacific Standard Time. And I'll announce the winner Friday, and you'll get a fun little present just in time for the holidays.
Aww.
Oh, so much fun. Okay, guys, thanks so much for listening. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
I'm singing along to the music.
Wait, that was like Dracula.
No, it's like, hold on. I can't do it now, but I know.
How about we just say bye the way Karen called Ray upstairs to the bathtub? Yoo-hoo! Ray! Yoo-hoo!
Oh, God.
So gross. Okay, bye, everyone.
Okay, bye.